We're talking about workplace friendships on the roundtable today, and workplace relationships, at least, are the foundation of some of our most beloved TV sitcoms.
What is going on? What is going on?
Michael is sick, and he wants one of us to rescue him.
I'm not sick.
I'm coming, Michael. I'm going to save you. Michael is in trouble.
I do not want to.
Okay, hold on, Michael. I am coming. Wait there.
Michael, why don't you call your girlfriend?
I don't have a girlfriend.
But you said you went out this weekend.
It was all made up. Just someone come, okay? Anyone but Dwight.
Yes, that's a scene from the American version of The Office, showing workplace relationships and some friendships that really do emerge in both versions of The Office in America and the UK. Gallup research on work and friendship suggests that workers who have a workplace best friend are more likely to report feeling a stronger connection and a level of pride in the work that they're doing, and they're more likely to be engaged productively. Well, COVID-19 has forced huge sections of the workforce to work from home, of course. So what's happened to our friendships with our co-workers? Can little chats in the tea room be replaced with weekly Zoom meetings or something else? How much is the loss of work colleagues, work friends, friendships contributing to the sad statistic that one in two Australians are feeling lonely during the pandemic? Could employers be doing better at fostering workplace relationships and friendships while staff are working from home? Are there risks associated with trying to do that? As always, we'd love to hear from you. How are you maintaining your workplace friendships while working from home? What's your employer doing? Were the friendships amongst your staff something you even thought about before the pandemic? We've already had some really lovely texts. One from somebody who says that their workmates have cemented a friendship during the lockdown. They're the only team member who lives alone. And apparently, I'm not sure if it's a his or her workplace, colleagues have gone out of their way to stay connected with them. They've been getting parcels in the post, socially distanced visits, and even a COVID-themed Easter basket. Well, that does sound like a lovely workplace, but is that an experience which is shared by others across the country in this difficult year? Get in touch with us on the text line. The number is 0418 226 576. And joining us around the round table today are Peter Wilson, former chairman of the Australian Human Resources Institute. He's now chair of the CPA Association, the Certified Practicing Accountants, and adjunct professor in the School of Management at Monash University. Welcome to the round table, Peter.
Good morning, Julian.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Dr. Amanda Alessi, who's formerly a consultant and lecturer at Deakin University Business School and now works for one of the big supermarkets. Welcome, Amanda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Dr. Michelle Lim also joins us. Michelle's a clinical psychologist who leads the Social Health and Wellbeing Laboratory at Swinburne University. And she's an expert on loneliness. I assume a professional expert, Michelle.
Thanks for having me, Julian.
Yes, excellent. Look, as it happens, all three of you are in Melbourne, so you're really right at the coalface of this issue, living through the very tough lockdown rules for the last 6 weeks. So I thought I might ask by just whipping around, asking each of you personally what the impact of coronavirus and the lockdowns has been on your workplace friendships, and what sort of inferences do you draw from that? Perhaps we can start with you, Peter.
Well, two impacts, Julian. You don't see them. So you have to work hard virtually to connect with them, to keep up to date with what's happening in other people's lives. You just can't expect to bump into them anymore as you do when you're working 5 days a week in a large metropolis. So
yeah, and do you find that hard to do when there's so much else to adjust to as well?
You do, absolutely. In fact, we can be effective in this mode of working, but it's very hard to be efficient because there's so much to be done to get to the job done and to keep in touch with important friendships and family in this virtual world where you're basically in home detention.
Amanda Alessi, have you found working from home detention?
Yes, it's a good terminology. I actually changed roles right just before the lockdowns commenced. So that was about 6 months ago. And so I had about 3 weeks of face-to-face time with my new colleagues and then quickly had to, you know, basically find new ways of getting to know a brand new organization, a brand new team. So I think the onboarding experience during COVID certainly comes with some new challenges. You don't have that person to just lean over and say, hey, can you explain this system to me? Or can you just quickly show me something? So that incidental learning doesn't really happen as much. And you certainly have to have more formalized structures, I think, which probably a lot of businesses have been grappling with at this point in time about how do we actually effectively get people up to speed with what is expected within this organization, and how do you find out how to do things here?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And in fact, we've had a text which is along those lines from someone who's a teacher and has talked about how it's been difficult to develop friendships online particularly as a new staff member in the workplace. It looks like there are scheduled team chats and things like that for collegial bonds, but it seems like when you don't have those sort of existing relationships, it's particularly hard. And that's something we might drill down into a little bit further during our discussion. But let's move on to you, Dr. Michelle Lim. What's your experience of working and your workplace friendships? How have they changed during the lockdown? And then perhaps we can also sort of segue from there into what the research is in this area.
Yeah. So like Peter and Amanda, I think we really had to make more of an effort and really be very mindful of that tea room conversation that we would, you know, have, you know, much, much more organically when we bump into each other face to face, and actually trying to make that happen still via Zoom. So we don't just talk about work, we do also check in on personal things and try to really be considerate of what might be happening with other people, because we can't really see their mood states all the time. So definitely an increased effort on our part.
Well, that's an interesting thing as well, isn't it? That perhaps it's harder to read people across remote video technology and those sorts of things. And maybe that does that make it harder to sort of discern who it is that you're likely to bond with in the workplace and make it harder to develop those friendships?
Look, I think when you're new, as Amanda pointed out, that is a lot more difficult. And I've had to onboard two new staff members in, I guess, the recent times. And it's been incredibly difficult to try to ensure that they feel comfortable. So you're constantly checking in all the time. And almost, I think I might have kind of leaned on the side of being a bit paranoid that they perhaps, you know, I haven't been doing a good enough job. So, you know, I've been definitely much more careful because I just cannot read the mood states, you know, other than those shorter, I guess, brief check-in, very scheduled kind of interactions.
Now, of course, this whole discussion about workplace friendships is going to depend very much on the nature of the work that you do and the possibilities for interaction of a social sort in your workplace. We've had an interesting text from Steve in the Hunter Valley who says, I run my own business. Now all the people that he's involved with are working from home. He says it's really lonely being a self-employed person now. And obviously, you know, you can understand why. So a big cheerio to you, Steve, out there in the Hunter Valley this morning. Amanda Alessi, there's been some research into the nature of workplace friendships. Can you give us a bit of an introduction into what that's found and perhaps what its implications are for working in this very different mode during the pandemic?
Yeah, well, certainly the research would support that social connection at work is incredibly important. And it's important for a number of reasons. I mean, obviously, work is not just, you know, what you actually output. There's a whole lot more that goes into it. And we know that people who work are much more healthier, and particularly people who work within a good workplace. So not all workplaces we know are created equally.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
When you have the opportunity to have great work, it provides you with some of these benefits, you know, the social connections, social support. But for organisations, it's also incredibly important. You know, people who do have these closer connections, they are more engaged, they'll help out their colleagues, there's more of that pro-social behaviour, so, you know, actually going out of your way to support the performance of someone else. So we know that there's actually a lot that contributes to performance in an organisation, and certainly the social connection. I mean, we go right back to kind of, you know, Hawthorne experiments, you know, back in some of the seminal studies, and even then we were identifying that actually it's the social connections that can really support performance at work and happiness at work.
So two aspects there, obviously, the benefits for the individual, but then also the benefit for the organisation. Peter Wilson, as the former chair of the Australian Human Resources Institute, this might be my sort of lack of knowledge, but I tend to think of HR focusing on relationships between colleagues, specifically when they become problematic in the workplace. Now, of course, there is a focus on team building and culture, but I wonder, do employers and managers and HR staff actually think about this question of friendships between workers and how significant they can be in the workplace?
Absolutely, they do. And at the end of the day, like most professions, you've got some negative and positive statistics you've got to manage. The negative ones where it goes pear-shaped in a relationship or there's a harassment issue or something like that. The positive ones are the research shows more harmonious workplaces where people are confident in what they're doing and who they're around are more productive. So a lot of work goes into that too. And what we've found is that leadership styles are best if the leader of whatever group knows a bit about the person in their group, knows, you know, whether they've got an elder care challenge or, you know, whether they've got a pet that's died. And not that you have to farm into what someone's doing, but you're balancing up two things, your duty as an employer to have a fit and proper workplace and also to respect privacy. So, but good leaders do find a way of finding out how someone's going, and particularly at the moment, the two at-risk groups in the workplace are those who are living alone, often in a confined space, an apartment, or those in a family where they have work responsibilities, elder care or childcare responsibilities, and also, you know, perhaps a partner who's hard to manage.
The person you were going to work to get away from.
That's right. I mean, let's be frank. People often enjoy going to work because they think, oh, dear, I can get away now and just chill down a little bit, get some things done and get a bit of a break from what I've just walked away from.
Yeah.
That's how many people are feeling at the moment. They can't get away. And that builds up to loneliness and then to various forms of acute psychological illness. So, yes, it's a real challenge at the moment. Home's great, but we need to get away, do some work, meet with other people, commune, just recharge, refresh, focus on something else, and then you go home. Well, at the moment, it's all one thing.
Dr. Michelle Lim, there's probably two concepts that are sort of floating around here, and I was interested to get your thoughts on the difference between them. Social isolation is one thing, but loneliness is another. How important is that distinction, and what implications does it have for this new sort of era of working remotely?
That's a very good question, Julian. Typically, you know, sometimes they can be a bit confusing because people do use them interchangeably, but they are actually related but distinct. And definitely we know if we kind of do psychometric studies, they are fairly distinct. What social isolation really is almost an objective indicator of the number of people you know, whether you're living alone or not, whether you have that actual physical contact with people or actually digital contact. But with social with loneliness, it's more of a subjective social isolation. So feeling like people don't really understand you, you know, might be speaking the same language, but you're not really, you know, kind of getting each other. You're not really in tune. You feel perhaps that you might have these relationships, but they're not really fulfilling a particular need. So if you hear those common terms like, you know, being alone in a crowd, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about.
Dr. Amanda Alessi, we heard Peter Wilson identify a couple of categories of worker who might be particularly affected by these new changed working arrangements. Are there particular demographics that you've observed about who's being affected more or worse? And I suppose, what are the implications of that for workplace friendships?
I mean, absolutely, I agree that I think particularly people who might be single or living alone, I would say that they're an at-risk population at this point in time, because we know that work also provides, you know, quite a lot of connection that might now not be there. But the other part of it is that, particularly within Victoria anyway, the current conditions are such that they also don't have the extended connection either. And so I think that, you know, we're in a bit of a unique situation at this point in time where we've really reduced the number of connections that those people have. And so by extension then that we have less opportunity to really pick up it, particularly when they might be struggling too. So I think, you know, from an employment lens, particularly identifying that group and making sure that we've got the right supports around them is important. I also agree that the working parent would be someone who is at risk, particularly as we've piled on what is ultimately a lot of responsibility, extra responsibility, when we talk about, you know, schooling from home or other various different things that they're now picking up, which they didn't have before. So, you know, just taking into consideration maybe what the unique circumstances are for some of our employee groups, I think is really a critical thing. And I know a lot of organisations are putting in place various different strategies to support. You know, obviously, if you're an essential worker, you have access to some of those other, you know, existing arrangements like childcare. But, you know, particularly putting in place, you know, times for single people to join up and have different conversations. I mean, I certainly do hear about all the, you know, parties that are online and various different times to connect, like coffee corners or even just sending out little notes to individuals. You know, these things do make a difference, but it does take some concerted effort on behalf of obviously the manager, but also the organisation more generally.
We're talking about workplace friendships on the roundtable today with Peter Wilson, Dr. Amanda Alessi and Dr. Michelle Lim. And Amanda, that you mentioned there a couple of the new practices that might be emerging in terms of trying to foster workplace friendships. Well, I think one was a coffee corner. I'll open this up to anyone. Have any of you come across particular techniques of new ways of trying to forge good social relations in the workplace that you think are particularly effective or promising when we're all sort of, or many people are working remotely?
I think you've touched on a couple there, Julian. I'm involved in four organisations, and all of them doing much the same thing. The first is to identify people at risk and to have the supervisor follow them up regularly. Secondly, for people that are at risk, there are buddies attached. So you talk to somebody else in the workplace and get them to regularly follow up as well as the leader on the person in a risky position. And then there are communal events, you know, mask of the day on Zoom, no agenda meetings where people just come together and talk about something funny that's happened or something that's going on in their life. Yeah. It's sort of like a crowd shared comedy show, you know, just not to do with work, but here we are, we're trying to get through this. How are our lives going? How are we managing? So there, you get variants of those things, individual interventions to try and help somebody that you really know is doing it tough. And group activities and celebrations that frankly aren't much to do with work, but they're all about keeping people sane and in good shape as we come out of this thing.
Dr. Michelle Lim, are there any particular sort of trends you've noticed that you think might pave the way for more effective workplace friendships online?
Look, I think Peter's actually highlighted a lot of these, but I'll probably emphasize things like sharing positive news as well. Actually sharing those little highlights and little positive highlights to be able to generate some positive energy.
Right. Yeah.
That's really quite important for bonding. Not always. I mean, obviously, if we need support, you know, it's important that we show that care and support where appropriate. But I think we often underestimate sharing those little positive wins and actually a building on people's little successes is actually incredibly, you know, really helpful to actually lift the team's morale.
There's a new book out this year called Social Chemistry by Yale professor Marissa King, and that makes some observations that perhaps even before the pandemic, workers are just having fewer friendships and fewer relationships of significance in the workplace. Apparently, in about 1985, about half of Americans would say they had a close pal, so that's definitely an American friendship, in the office. But that was down to only about 30% in 2004. And again, the percentage of people who say they care about having friends at work dropped from 54% amongst baby boomers to 41% amongst millennials. Amanda Alessi, do you think that there is a sort of either a generational change and also a change in the nature of workplaces that mean that maybe friendships just aren't as common in the workplace as they used to be?
I think there's two things to think about there. I think one is not just the number of friendships that we have, it's actually the depth of those friendships that's critically important. You know, certainly the research would suggest that even just having that one deeper connection will provide you with all the benefits. It's not just about having an extended group of friends. I think that there is an interesting stat there around the generations. Certainly, you know, we see that people have different approaches to friendships at work. So there are the people that are a true integrator. They think that their life and their work can coexist together, and they're not fussed by how much work might creep into their own personal life. And then we've got on the other end of the spectrum a separator. So they truly want those two things to be distinct and different from each other. Now, I think, you know, that this is something that's emerging in the work-life balance literature and various different things like that. But, you know, what you might be seeing is that there now is a group of people that prefer to keep things quite separate. So, you know, when I'm working, I'm working. But when I leave, I don't bring it with me. So that might be really down to that individual preference, and certainly we might be seeing a trend there.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear from some of our texters on the text line about what happens when it goes really well. We've had a text from Susan in Sydney who says that on Friday she had lunch, one of several every year, with a couple of dear friends who met back in 1971 at her first serious job. She says they've each lived and travelled all over the world and in the intervening years, but she says she's still more comfortable with them than just about anyone. Almost 50 years of friendship, a friendship that she treasures. All of it started in a workplace. That's a lovely little story. And it makes me wonder, Dr. Michelle Lim, are most workplace friendships different in kind from friendships out of work? Are they more, they tend to be more just sort of, you know, consequences of circumstance? Is there something different about a truly lasting friendship?
Look, I think people's social needs are very complex, and we get different things from different people. And some of us actually would really value those work friendships to be able to kind of, talk about perhaps, you know, issues around work stresses, for example. But I think Amanda's point in terms of, you know, how potentially these things might change over time, I'm kind of thinking about how, I guess, the how COVID would actually influence the increase in remote working. And perhaps it is possible that people start understanding this importance of also, you know, making friendships with people in your community, for example, because, you know, if they're not actually seeing people in the workplaces, even, you know, as we progress past the threat of COVID-19, that if we are actually starting to work from home more, there's this, increasing or growing importance about your relationships with your family, your friends, but also within your community.
Yeah.
And I think that perhaps there might be that slight shift towards, getting to know your neighbours, for example.
Absolutely. Well, look, we've only got a very short time left. So, Peter Wilson, just one final question for you. If there was one thing that you could recommend for people to do to try and foster their workplace relationships, what would it be?
Call a work colleague a day. You know, think about the people you work with, put them on a list, and just make sure that each day you ring somebody and just see how they're going. It's the old "Are you okay?" theory. It's very powerful.
Great, great. Well, look, thank you very much to you, Peter, and also to Dr. Amanda Alesi and Dr. Michelle Lim for joining us for a very friendly conversation about workplace friendships today on the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.